Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com.
Welcome, everyone. My guest today is Rich Wydell, the CEO of Princeton Mortgage and a speaker at our upcoming event, The Gathering, to talk about how he's leading his company to optimize in today's market. Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sarah, thanks for having me on. Thrilled to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you here. You know, I interviewed you for my Housing Stack newsletter story a couple months ago. That was really fun. That's where I get to interview executives about tech, and we had a great conversation. So happy to have you on here to talk about some different things besides tech.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
So let's start out by talking about the market right now, the housing market in 2024. We're in March now, so we can really say, okay, is this, you know, 2 months and a little bit in, is this what you expected? How's it going?
So I stopped having expectations. That was one of the best lessons I had early in my career. I started off, I was an investment banker with Goldman Sachs, and I sat next to the interest rate traders. These guys were like brilliant macro hedges trading across the entire world on interest rates. And I was in the commercial mortgage-backed securities. So we were doing like all these big securitizations. And the entire time I was there, they were wrong. And I'm not knocking them on it. But the lesson I took from that, I was not nearly as sophisticated with them. I was like, huh, nobody really knows what's going on with interest rates. So I would love to be able to know. And it's like so attractive to listen to somebody that's like, here's what's going to happen and here's what's going on. I think we've all learned over the last couple of years that nobody has any idea. So our 2023, I think, was worse than we'd all hoped, right? That was kind of those, like, there was some hope that we've gotten through it. If you look at the average cycle spans, I think in 2024, what we're experiencing, it's feeling kind of like 2023. And so we're operating under the, hey, we got to make sure that let's plan for 2024 to be similar to 2023. And let's go optimize for how's the best way to run a mortgage company, be an originator, manufacture loans based on today's volume and what we have. And if it goes to the upside, great. If it goes to the downside, we'll have to adjust to it.
No, I really like that. Optimizing for today's market is a great topic to think about for the podcast, but also just to, you know, we can talk about different things under that. You as the leader of your company, like, what does that look like? So maybe the first thing to talk about is like, how does that work with LOs? How do you work in this low volume environment? How do you do that?
So the simple phrase we've been using a lot, you know, we've got every company develops a way that they do things, a way that we, even the way we run meetings, the way that we do sales management, our compensation structures, our pricing strategies, all that type of stuff. And you sort of run into it, well, it's the way we do it. And we've put a lot of thought into it over years. Is that the right way to be doing the business today? So we've kind of been asking ourselves and having fun, and actually it's been very fun of just going, hey, how do we meet the moment? What's the right thing that we should be doing today? If you were designing it today, if you had no legacy issues, if you had no way that we did things, how would you design for today in today's market? And that leads to like really different outcomes. The problem with that thinking, sometimes those decisions, we're like, well, this is what I would do, right? If I was a consultant and I sat here and said, how would I advise Princeton Mortgage? What would I do? Like, oh, I do X, Y, and Z. Like, oh, that means there's some really difficult things that have to have happen. But sometimes there's some really good things that have to happen out of that. So what we found is kind of the way we all did business as an industry. Fundamentally, kind of you think about it, the industry brought in like 12,000 in revenues alone, and we had costs of 13,000. And maybe those numbers are off a little bit, but generally speaking, the costs were higher than the revenue. But it's still like 12,000 alone in revenues. What's going on here? And so you say, well, maybe the way that we've all done it as an industry, and Princeton included, is suboptimal for operating today. So if you break it back down and say, how would the loan officers and the branch managers and your operations staff in the company earn a fair amount of money in this market? There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. What it requires is trust because change is scary. And so I'll share just a quick story if I could. So I recently had a recruiting interview, really great producer, probably in the top 2% of the marketplace. And started off the conversation, I said, well, hey, why are we having this conversation today? Why are you looking around? You know, if you look at getting, I'm getting taken advantage of by my company, and I'd rather the money go go to my kids, you know, then to the company. Like, well, okay, maybe let's look at it. So we go through a model and we look at pricing, and good pricing, fair from my perspective, compared to what we could offer, fair pricing, fair compensation, good support, and pretty good products. And I think it was really eye-opening for that recruit when you start to realize, like, I'm not really getting taken advantage of. And so, and that's not a knock on him or his company, but sort of what's happened in the industry is there's just this breakdown of trust. And so the ability to make changes to optimize for today requires people to say, you know what, I'm going to be a little vulnerable here. All right, I'm going to maybe change my comp structure, change my cap, or the company's going to change the way that we price a little better. Maybe we're going to get more transparent on saying, hey, how do we actually build company margins and what should they be and how do we do this stuff? The problem is, you know, I think we've got 3,000 or 4,000 mortgage companies, and like the vast majority are good companies trying to do a good job. There's also a decent amount of misinformation in the industry. And so what we've experienced is the more that we share with our teams about, hey, here's what it costs to produce a loan, and here's what we need for this, it opens you up to a month later, 2 months later, if they're talking to a recruiter that's selling magic, hey, oh my gosh, Princeton's taking X per loan, or their margin's Y, we can do it for half of that and you can get more money. And you can say, well, not really. One of the benefits we have is that there's a lot of public mortgage companies now. And so one of the great things is we'll pull up their financials and be like, oh, really? They can produce a loan for, and it's not the public company saying it, but they, let's go look at Guild. Let's go look at Quicken. Let's go look at UWM. Let's go look at loanDepot. Huh. Their numbers all kind of look like our numbers, which all kind of look what the numbers are that the MBA puts out. Maybe there's not a magical company. And then we'll also have the conversation and say, hey, if there was a magical company that could just take only 50 basis points, right? You see that thrown around all the time. We only take 50 basis points. A mortgage company to survive in the long run needs to be able to make 50 basis points on average. Some years it's 100, some years it's negative 20, but they have to average out to 50. So if the company is only taking 50, how would you ever make 50? I haven't been able to figure that one out. And so when you start to unpack it and we educate people, they're like, well, that all makes sense. And then, so we spend a lot of time investing in education about how things work so that that thing can build the trust where we can go try things. Hey, let's tweak this. Let's try that. I promise we're not going to take advantage of you. How about you don't take advantage of us? And let's go see, instead of fighting about how we divide the pie up, we go grow the pie. And so we've been using the word optimize a lot. How do we meet the moment right now? And I think this is happening across companies throughout the industry. I think it's easier the more trust there is between a sales team and the company to be able to experiment and change things. And if there's no trust, you don't want to change because you're protecting. And that goes for the company and also for the originators. But where you can create trust, you can find really cool answers for like, hey, even if we all do the same loans we did in 23, we could have a lot more fun doing it, and everybody can make a little more money.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So the distrust or the current system, where would you peg that back to? Is that pre-pandemic? Is that smack in the middle because of the pandemic and all the craziness of the last couple of years?
So I think we're in a really complex industry where there's a lot of unknown things, right? So how do you put rate sheets together? What type of products do we have? How much is the company making? Are they not making? What's really going on? And so so information is power. And if we don't have the same amount of information, it can create distrust within it. And then so then everybody's hearing the little pieces of information that they want, right? So, hey, I talked to my buddy down the street that said he's got this rate and his comp's this. But then you look at it and you're like, well, okay, but they're taking this much per file or they're, and then when you can't do an app, getting to an apples to apples comparison is really difficult. At the end of the day, it all kind of shakes out the same. We all sort of have the same execution. So then the question is, how are we running our models? And I think what's happening in the industry right now is like, if somebody sells a 6.5% loan, we're all kind of getting the same dollars from it. There's very little variance that we get in capital markets execution. So the question is, how are we running our models in order to then say, what rate can we deliver to the consumer? What compensation can we give to our loan originators? And how do we do these things? There is an incentive for companies, because companies have more information than originators, to misrepresent some of that information for short run gains, right? So like if I tell you what you want to, so for example, with that recruit, I was like, man, we can't really, you might want to join us because of our culture or marketing or we're nice people or things like that. But if it comes down to product, price, and comp, we can do about what your company's doing. I could have said different things, potentially shown him different rate sheets, right? Built out a rate sheet that looked better than his reality, given him a signing bonus, had him come over. Now he's locked in for 2 years and I jacked those prices up for the next 2 years. But boy, that doesn't create a trusting relationship. We're going to do cool things together. And I'm not saying everybody's bad or anything like that, but there's enough of that going on that it does create a lot of friction for people. And I feel bad for originators who are trying to navigate. Just most originators just want a fair deal and they want to do loans, right? And but if they don't know what's really going on, they're told one thing, but they think something else, it's very difficult for them to then have a trusting relationship with their company and or be able to make a really good decision on whether there's another company that they should join, because there's so much mistrust that people have been burnt so many times. And so I think we see this, the fundamental problem we have right now is that the industry went down 50% in about 6 months. It's taking us like 3 years as an industry to right size to that. I think that the amount of misinformation and mistrust is part of the reason why it's taking us so long, because we're not getting quick enough to the right solutions, which is like, hey, let's all share in the pain together. But let's say so for example, we tend to think in basis points and we tend to think in like dollars I can earn on this loan. Well, you know, if you do a $700,000 FHA loan, that's awesome to get a $7,000 or $8,000 commission check. But like, you might be out of market compared to another guy who's capped at $3,000 or $4,000 on his commission. And so we've talked a lot about monthly earnings, right? Hey, maybe it's an advantage to cap your compensation. Maybe you'll pick up one or two more loans. And now you went from earning $8,000 a month to earning $15,000 a month. And we all win in that scenario. And I'm not just saying like, hey, loan officers should make less money. It should be a loan officer by loan officer conversation with what are your goals and what are you trying to achieve this year in terms of total earnings? What's the optimal and easiest and most effective way to get to those earnings? And sometimes that conversation leads to a different outcome than maybe they thought, right? But then that's based on trust. Hey, is the company just trying to do this because they're going to keep my margins the same so they can make more? Well, then you shouldn't lower your compensation. But if we're sharing in that and doing it together in a real way where we're tracking it and we're making sure that it's effective, that's pretty cool.
We've talked a lot at Housing Wire. We talk to people and ask how they're differentiating themselves for the customer. But even, you know, before that, you have to differentiate yourself for your loan officers, for the people who want to work with you, right? So that's interesting when you're like, you know, basically if the comp is comparable, if it's about the same, then it might come down to other factors. Let's dig in a little bit about building rate sheets. How do you build rate sheets today in this environment?
What we've seen is that when interest rates are stable, let's say the 10-year treasury, right? So like the base prices are pretty stable. The spread of rates is pretty tight, right? Like everybody, the market kind of figures out where we should be for these FHAs, conforming and VAs. When there's volatility in the 10-year, we see the distribution of mortgage rates really gap out. So for example, if you said to me, you know, we're hanging out, we run into each other, hey, I'm Rich Waddell, hey, Sarah, and you go, hey, we're looking at getting I think you just bought a house, congratulations, right? On an FHA loan, let's just say a $500,000 or $600,000 FHA loan, the rate for that loan is anywhere between 6 1/8 and 8%, with the borrower paying 50 basis points, right? So it's a huge spread, and you're up against all types of different models, right? Is it what's that loan officer's compensation? What type of, are they at a bank? Are they at an IMB? Are they at a broker shop? And it's it. So then the complexity we have in the mortgage industry is it's very difficult to build a rate sheet today when there's 100 basis points or more in spread in rate. And then how do you also offer flexibility to say, wow, it's all over the place, in a way that's fair and compliant and fair lending issues and things like that. So it's a very difficult time. And then one of the things we that's interesting in the mortgage industry is that the cost to produce varies wildly by loan originator. And so I'll use a very basic example. Somebody, you've got a loan originator, let's say their healthcare costs are $1,000 for easy math. Their technology costs are $600 a month, and they've got a $500 a month rent. So let's say their technology costs were $500. So now it's $2,000 a month of expense, whether they do a loan or not. Okay. Never do a loan. If that person's doing one loan a month, you essentially have a fixed cost of the loan, a sales fixed cost of $2,000. If they're doing four loans a month, it's $250 a loan. And if they're doing 10 loans a month, where I forgot track to my math here, is that 20 bucks, right? So you can see, like, the depending on the loan originator, just the loan originator's fixed cost that needs to get into the margin can be anywhere from $2,000 a loan to $200 a loan. Wow. So what happens in the industry is we wind up sort of like over margining producers that have a lower cost to produce and under margining producers that have a higher cost to produce, that again leads to these suboptimal outcomes. And then if you look within a branch, you have the same type of a situation where you've got the branch cost. And then within a branch, you have some loan originators that might be doing $500,000 and $600,000 loans and some that are doing $275,000 loans. And the problem with that is that a lot of our expenses in the mortgage industry are not volume related, they're unit related, right? So now you start to say, folks, well, what are your costs to produce a loan that, you know, not your fulfillment costs, but your, so you've got an investor fee of $500. You've got underwriting costs, you know, $300, $400, $500. You've got a closer, maybe $80 a loan. You've got your processing costs are like $600. So all of a sudden I'm at like $2,500. Well, $2,500 on a $200,000 loan is well over 100 basis points. $2,000 on a $1 million loan is 20 basis points. So now your dollar cost per loan vary wildly. And so when we're all running around talking about like company only takes 50 basis points or I should make 100, it's like we really need to start to dive into on a loan officer level, what is that loan officer cost? And sort of you build into rate sheets that way. But now you've got this other thing that's like, you can't go give every loan officer different price based on their healthcare costs because you could get into a fair lending issue on it. So as an industry, we're sort of like trying to figure out how to be flexible in a market where the rates can be between 6 1/8 and 8% in a model that's really constrained in how you adjust to it. So yes, some loan officers have the companies making way more than they should, essentially, not that they should, than they would need to if they were just looking at that individual loan officer, because you've got other loan originators that have much higher costs to produce and we're blending that out on average. So I think it's a long rambling way of saying you can make progress on these issues if you've got trust between company and originators and everybody understands how the business works and together we're willing to make, I won't even say difficult choices. I will say choices that open everybody up to some vulnerability, right? To try different things. Okay. Hey, so for example, a lot of originators were not on a P&L. Branch managers were not on a P&L in 20 and 21. It was an advantage if you were on a P&L, right? An expense management branch or whatever you want to do with that. When they were like, man, I lost out. I would have got an extra $500,000. So they're like, all right, I'm gonna get on a P&L. So then in 22, they get onto a P&L. Not a great time in hindsight to be on a P&L. Now we're in 24 though, but if you spent your career like, I can't believe I got so screwed not being on a P&L, and now your company's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be on a P&L. Maybe you should just be a loan originator. Maybe you should go to a corporate model where we can have more flexibility in the way that we price loans and the way that we're setting our stuff up, because now it's not LO, branch, and company having to make money. It's LO and branch and company together making money so we can be more efficient. That feels like you're taking something away from that person that they kind of fought hard to get. Trust, trust, trust. And so if you can build trust, we can do it. But the problem is building trust in this industry, you're up against a lot of misinformation. So I'm not like sitting here, I don't sound like I'm complaining. I'm articulating in a way that I hope might be beneficial for somebody that's like, I think maybe the model I'm doing with my, by the way, your company will probably change. You're like, okay, cool, change it, right? You don't have to switch you don't have to switch companies to get this stuff. But you've got to be able to have trust in that you can change things that maybe it will lead to a better outcome for everybody involved. And so if we look at the win for all.
So you said that if you can build that trust, you can do some pretty cool things, right? The company with the loan officers at Princeton, what does that look like?
It looks like, hey, why don't we all put our cards on the table and let's figure out the best way to achieve our goals together. And so like, we're doing some really cool things that I don't know that it makes sense to get into the details because it's really like LO by LO and branch by branch and that type of stuff. And not everybody has the same goals. Maybe it's better for that loan officer to have higher comp and higher caps and run this way or whatever it would be. But the conversation, being able to at least have that conversation, leads to stuff on the margin that you can tweak together that can lead to better outcomes. And I think, you know, every loan originator in the country can benefit for one more loan a month together. And so, you know, last year was all about prospect. Like, okay, we had to relearn sales. Well, that gets you so far. Well, now it's like, so example, I talked to somebody who's like, hey, you know, I'm down 80%, but my problem, you know, I'm looking to switch companies because, you know, I have some friends in Los Angeles that are realtors that are doing a lot of jumbo loans, and my company's not very good at doing jumbo loans in Los Angeles. First off, Los Angeles is maybe one of the most difficult mortgage markets in the country, and jumbos are one of the most difficult products to do. So what you're saying is your strategy is you want to go to the most difficult market to do the most difficult jumbos. Like, that's a hard thing to say, but like, if my son was working with me and he was like, Rich, here's my strategy for 2024. I'd be like, no, don't do that. That's really hard. Let's go do this thing, right? And so being able to say like, hey, we're not talking about picking up another 20 or 30 loans a month. You're trying to get one or two more. Maybe there is a more effective strategy of getting those one or two more. And so when we dug into it, what we found was we could way outperform her company on FHA, VA, USDA loans, and on conventional loans over like 400,000. I mean, like a dramatic difference, because the model that she's in had a branch manager and these types of things that leads to a more expensive model than what we're running. It was kind of like, so she's like, but I don't get those loans. Like, well, let's look at your market. Those loans exist. There's a lot of them. So maybe you're not getting them because the realtors know that you have really bad pricing for those loans. So maybe if you had good pricing for those loans, it's a little easier for you to go pick up a VA loan every other month, and to do one of these conventional 700,000s, you're not getting any of these. Maybe it's because like your compensation is capped at $12,000. Hey, if you want to be competitive on a $650,000 conventional, you can't make $12,000. But let me show you what the pricing looks like if you put your cap down at $5,000 or $6,000. I'm not telling you you need to, but if you wanted to get here, here's the way that you could do it. And so it's leading people to different outcomes, and they've got to make some of their decisions on their trade-offs on it.
Well, that's so interesting, but also very complex. To your point, it seems like that would be different for every single loan officer. So how do you, as the leader, how do you make that happen?
You share, you're vulnerable, you don't screw people, and you just keep willing to teach people and explain it. And sometimes like we take the risk on it. People are really scared. Like, listen, how about this? I'll take the risk. Let's run it for 90 days. And like, if you get screwed, we'll make up the difference. I mean, I'm being a little bit exaggerated, but it's complex. You're right. We can't expect everybody to understand this stuff. And so we have to lead and show it. And then by the way, if somebody's doing it and they're like, hey, I lowered my comp, and I don't mean to keep talking about comp because that's not the only lever here, but if you're like, hey, this person lowered their comp and they went from 2 loans a month to 4 loans a month. And yes, they're making less per loan, but their monthly earnings went from 8,000 a month to 14,000 a month. Hey, they're winning. You know, like, let's focus on that piece of it. And then as you share that, other people go, oh, well, okay, maybe I will try that for a little while type of thing.
Is there a different kind, when you look at now the kind of loan officer that you want to hire, is it not just like, oh, somebody who can do purchase, but what you're talking about here, this flexibility and also, you know, somebody who could be trust, is it a different profile than say it was a year ago?
Yes, we do best, and I'm most attracted to, with loan officers that, one of our top loan officers said a quote by his mom the other day. He said, you know, my mom always told me, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. And what he was saying is, he's like, dude, I got my blinders on. Let's us just work together to go figure this out. And I'm not going to listen to all of the noise. And I'm not saying be naive, but there's so much noise out there. And I think what we do well with are the loan originators that realize there's no magic. There is no magic. What we're trying to do is tweak it so that it's best for that originator, best for Princeton, and we can go make money together. Okay, cool. Let's just do that. Hey, let's just play with this until go get one more loan. And oh, your conversion ratio last year was 4 out of 10 loans. Why don't we try to figure out how to get that to 6 out of 10 in a way that's fair to both of us? And then when you're at 6 out of 10, maybe you can get to 7 out of 10, or maybe you can't. And so we've had a lot of success moving that up a little bit. So I think the loan originators that are succeeding this market, if you talk to the ones that are doing 10 units a month or more, they're not looking for magic at all. They're looking for a fair deal. They're thoughtful. They understand the reality of the industry. They understand how things work. They understand that the company's got to make some money and they've got to make some money, and that pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Let's be real together. Base our decisions on the economics that's facing the industry. And let's use last year as our baseline. You did 90, you know, I was talking to a guy today, one of our guys, he's like, man, I did 90 loans last year and I feel really bad about it. So I remember that. I think that puts me in the top 2%. And I'm like, yeah, so cool. If 24 is like 23, now we've got a new baseline. Let's just say, what's your goal this year? Well, it's 125 units. All right, let's figure out what is the most effective way, the optimal way for you to get to 125 units this year that's fair to you and fair to Princeton Mortgage. And then that leads to like, cool, I don't know all the answers. He doesn't know all the answers, but we've got trust. We're going to go figure it out together this year.
So interesting. Well, I want to tell our audience that you're going to be speaking at the Gathering. That's our annual event now that combines real estate and mortgage. It's April 21st through the 24th. You did a CEO playbooks at our HW annual in the fall that was very popular. People loved it. We're bringing you back as a speaker because just like this podcast has shown, really interesting things to say. People want to hear what's going on. So if our listeners are out there, you guys come meet Rich in person. Come to the Gathering in April in Scottsdale. But Rich, thank you so much for being on. Really appreciate you being vulnerable with us and, you know, kind of pulling back the curtain on what you're doing at Princeton.
I appreciate you having me on.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. We'll see you back here on Monday for more news and insight.